Yeah, that's right. Flula, milkman, party times!
Live from San Luis Obispo, it's Hurricane and Scroggs. I am JD Scroggin. He is the Hurricane, but you can call him Owen Main.
What's really going on?
I'm shutting it down in the mall and telling every Goshita one for me. And I ain't even planning to call.
That's fantastic.
My mic went out. Is it working?
Yeah, you went out on here too.
Oh, but, there we go.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. That was awesome. Welcome okay. to Hurricane Scroggs Podcast.
Hold on, the singing must have been horrible because I thought we were totally, the mic cut out. I was singing the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I think it got some of it. I'm interested to see in the post-production what's really going on.
Oh, man.
And I think we maybe just couldn't hear it. I think my microphone splitter, I couldn't hear it at all. My headphone splitter is just broken, I think.
I couldn't hear it at all. The headphones totally cut out. So I was singing, but I couldn't hear a word I was saying.
Your headphones were definitely not turned up. Actually, yeah. I think mine, well, I guess we'll see what happens. Well, I'm going to turn it up a little bit here, but go ahead. Keep.
I apologize for the awesome freestylings.
Nothing to apologize for, Mr. Scroggin. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to be back here in the fansmanship.com podcast studios.
Official podcast studios.
Yes.
That's right. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, excuse me. The fansmanship.com podcast network studios.
Ooh.
Because yeah, there's now two shows.
So. There are two shows now, yeah. And we have a network now, apparently. That's what that means.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's good times. It's good times here. I actually haven't done a fansmanship podcast in the studio in a little while because I've taken my recorder on the road, but hopefully I'll be able to have some other people. I have a list of people I'm trying to get for this fall, and fall is fast, like, approaching, and we're just dead in the midst of it now. It's starting to get cool outside. And so fall's here. I need to get those people who I was planning on getting in the fall.
Yes.
That means the people that I need to get now.
Yes. And big news for us. We are now on Stitcher and iTunes.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. So follow us on Stitcher. Stitcher is an app that you can download for your iPod I guess you could probably iPod Touch, but iTunes or for your iPhone and for your Android.
Or Android.
Yeah. You can
they
do either
have
way.
Stitcher on Android. Yeah, yeah. Don't be an iPod.
I first had Stitcher on Android. That was the when okay. I first had it, and it was on Android. Did you lose it again?
I think it did cut
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I mean, it's still working.
All right, there we go.
Yeah,
oh, if I
working.
Hold it in like this, then I can
hear. Yeah, it's
meanwhile,
still
if anyone's listening to this, they're like, what? They
Why
just
are
sound
they
normal
stopping?
The whole
yeah.
time. Why are they stopping?
Yeah.
It's because our headphones are cutting out.
Yeah, so they had Stitcher on Android before iTunes, and so yeah. it's, and you can let it go. I bet it'll be okay.
Okay.
You're going to put your hand on that thing the whole time. JD is sitting with his hand like
better
very carefully
safe, better
on
safe
the cord.
Than sorry, they say,
yeah,
Owen.
Fair enough. So they had Stitcher on Android before iTunes. And
yes.
So we're on there. We're also on iTunes, or excuse me, before Android before the iTunes store. There you
You're
go.
Not a techie, are you?
I am. I just can't really talk today. I don't know what my deal is. So yeah, you're right. You got to hold it there, huh? Well, that's just for us to be able to hear it.
Yeah. The App Store is what the Apple Store is called the App Store.
Yeah, so you can go to there is an Apple Store. It's just a real place.
Yeah, but you don't go to the Apple Store to get an app on your phone.
Somebody's gonna like walk in there, and be like, "I want Hurricane and Scroggs podcast, please.
Hey,
can I have one order?
Yeah, can I have one Stitcher?
One order of Stitcher
yes.
with a side of Hurricane and Scroggs.
Yes, that's what
also,
you need to do. You need to go into the iStore,
the Apple Store downtown
yes,
in San Luis Obispo.
The Apple Store.
Or the Mac Superstore.
Go into Mac Superstore too. Who cares? Yeah, and just tell them you want Hurricane Scroggs on Stitcher or iTunes.
Or yeah, and so it's on iTunes, also like the podcast app that people have on their phones. They can find it there. If you feel like rating us, you can rate us at 5 stars because that's the best one, and we would appreciate that.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
That'd be awesome.
We could climb the charts from like zero to maybe like you know somewhere. That would be great. This is our 5th episode, I think, and we skipped a week. JD's been to Arizona and back.
Oh, that's what we're blaming it on? Because I went to Arizona. That's why we didn't do a recording. Okay.
It was definitely not because I was super busy and and stuff.
Darn you, lumberjacks of northern Arizona.
I know. The walk-up Sky Dome.
Yes.
How was that place?
It was interesting. Like, did you see? I tweeted a picture of it, and it looks like Space Mountain from far away, kind of.
Does it?
Yeah, totally. I was like, this is something straight out of Disneyland. And then you go in there, and it's all completely wooden. It's a 10,000-seat football arena enclosed,
but the top has to be like steel structure. for a dome.
I don't know what the roof is made out of, but no, it's wooden structure. It's wooden beams.
Like the outside is, there's beams across the top that are wood.
Yes, they're curved. They're like carved beams.
Weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, they are the lumberjacks. I mean, it would be weird.
It was fitting. I wouldn't have imagined, you know, that it was made of wood, but then you get inside and you look up and you're like, whoa.
Better than the one in the Dakotas that you've been to? Was there one in like Grand Forks or something like that? Have you been to that one?
Oh, yes, I have been to that one. It's different, you know, like I think the media accommodations and maybe the luxury suites and the press box and stuff might have been nicer in North Dakota, but the field itself and for the player's sake, and you know, in this case, seemed a little bit
newer,
more forgiving. Like
it seemed like a legit new turf field.
I don't know if it was new, not the hard turf. I don't know if it was new, but it was definitely field turf. Like you go down there and it's like the ground up rubber pieces.
That's what I mean, yeah.
The turf in North Dakota is literally like one of the, like old veteran stadium.
Like veteran stadium, that's
like
what I was
going to
say.
The carpet, you know,
riverfront.
I mean? It's like a carpet. It's like an inch and a half, 2 inch thick like piece of rubber with like green.
Olympic stadium in Montreal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to get tackled there. I wouldn't want to get tackled anywhere, basically. But
right.
I guess if I had to get tackled anywhere in a dome stadium.
Or dive on the ground in some way.
Of the two stadiums I've been to, if I had to be tackled in one of them, I guess I would want to be tackled at the walk-up Sky Dome.
I'll keep that in mind for like two or 3 years from now when Cal Poly goes back at some point.
Yeah. Well, if Cal Poly goes back and you make it out there, I will tackle you on the field. How's that?
Can I tackle you instead?
You can try. We both try to tackle each other, and whoever tackles
wins. That just doesn't sound fantastic.
Well, that's what happens in football.
That could be like the halftime show. Like instead of kicking the ball into the back of the truck, we can do the
we can do sumo wrestling. Because that's essentially what it's
like
going to
be. Like a huge game of tag.
Let's just be honest.
Game of tag.
Let's just be honest, Owen. You and me tackling each other is going
to
be.
Well, somebody's got to have the football, and somebody's got to be juking.
It's going to be the equivalent of sumo wrestling.
I could track you down if you had the football. And had to stay in bounds. I can do that.
Ohio. So, all right. Speaking of the iApple, you know, universe, let's go straight into what's crapping in today, because that's a good segue, because you brought up the Apple Store.
And we still don't have a what's crapping in like intro, but JD will. that's going to be tasked to JD Scroggin to create the what's crapping in intro.
Yeah, I guess I'll try to do something in that arena.
Okay.
I'll think about it. I got to think about it. Yeah. This is the first we've mentioned it, so I'll think about
maybe
it.
Maybe like a toilet flushing or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe. So get this. You know that this month the Apple iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus hit the store shelves.
I do.
And you know that it's tradition. It's tradition at this point. It's not even like a phenomenon. It's a tradition at this point. Yeah. Like the Apple geeks on the first day, on launch day, those who didn't pre-order will go wait in a big long line. They camp out at the store. They wait there the whole time. And then they, you know, the line moves.
They camp out for like a day and a half, 2 days
sometimes. Yeah. So
bring food. Yeah.
What else do they do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Have sex.
Probably intense. There was a good, what was the TV show? Anyway, there's a TV show.
Whatever kind of preparations these people do
for the
iPhone.
It was in Bones. It was in the show Bones one time when people were waiting in line for Comic-Con. And one of the guys on the show got lucky while they were waiting in line for like tickets. It was either Comic-Con or it was like an iPhone release or something like that.
Who do you think is more likely to get lucky in line? Comic-Con guy? Or iPhone guy. I'm sure some of them are the same. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of crossover between iPhone guy.
But not as much as you think, I think. Because I think Comic-Con guy doesn't like the intrusive nature of Apple devices. I feel like they're like above it on, they feel like they're above it on some level, maybe. Like, Comic-Con guy's like, Apple's too, you know, regimented. I like the freedom of Android software. Or
oh,
like
man.
That, maybe.
Man.
Yeah.
So, I think you got it pegged.
Yeah. So maybe.
You are a techie. Oh, yeah. You know things.
Some things, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think.
So who's more likely to get lucky? Let's answer the real question.
iPhone guy.
iPhone guy is more likely to get lucky?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at Comic-Con, this is off the topic of what's crapping it, but at Comic-Con, at cons worldwide.
Have you been to a Comic-Con?
I have not.
Okay.
But I follow the news of these cons. The happenings. All over.
Right.
It's not just the one in San Diego. Like every town seems like it has a con these days. There's one in New York and there's Wizard cons and there's all kind of, you know, Phoenix con. There's right around when the Big West tournament is happening for basketball. There's one in Anaheim called WonderCon, and I've never been down there at the same time. You know,
it's always been like a week off.
Yeah. Well, it's been you know, for some reason I haven't been able to stay long enough to go to WonderCon. I have to come back right after
the Big West tournament, or it's not, it's 1 week later or 1 week before or whatever. It's usually around that same time. But there's a big problem with these cons, apparently, with like the people who go, like you've seen these people who do like cosplay. Have you heard of cosplay? Do you know what this is?
Cosplay, no.
Yeah, it's like dressing up in costumes, like your favorite character. So like...
Yes, my friends have done that, who go to Comic-Con.
Terrific, yeah. Well, there are cosplayers who like make it a profession, basically, and they, you know, it's usually women, too, and they dress up in like sexy outfits.
And they charge...
They charge for pictures, Well, but there's a big problem, I guess, with some of these women... because the guys who go to the cons that pose pictures with them will like grab their butts... or, you know, sexually harass them in some other means or way. And there's like a movement to like create awareness of like, hey, bozos, con guys, stop grabbing my butt.
Yeah. Are they like sanctioned? Are they sanctioned people though, like who charge somebody to take their picture? It seems like if Comic-Con isn't making some money off of that, Comic-Con probably wouldn't like that very much.
Oh, well, I mean, they buy booths.
Oh, they buy booths to do it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, then, yeah.
Well, the most successful ones, you know, that's what they do. They buy booths. And then they have their own fans, people who come just to see them, just to see specific cosplayer.
Wow. That's a big business.
Yeah, it's like they're almost kind of celebrities. There's a TV show even called Heroes of Cosplay, which is it's like a reality show where they follow people around that dress up at these different cons. And they just go to con and they build their own costumes and stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure they make decent money too if you're sitting all day taking pictures for $10 a pop.
Yeah. I'm sure some of them make money. I don't know, you know.
Right.
I don't know how many of them are making a living doing that, but whatever.
Yeah, I've seen pictures on like Facebook and stuff with my friends who take pictures with these people.
Yeah. Okay. So iPhone guy, the difference is, I guess iPhone guy gets the front of the line and he's not grabbing the store clerk or the cashier's boobs and butts when he's getting his iPhone. He just gets the iPhone and grabs that.
Right. And drops it usually pretty quickly. Did you see that guy in Australia?
There was a video, first guy who bought an iPhone dropped it. And then everyone speculated that he dropped it on purpose.
Right. But I don't think so, dude. I watched
to get
that.
YouTube.
I watched that video. It was just super clumsy, and that's the way the boxes are made, man.
But put it this way. I'll ask you this. If you bought an iPhone and you knew you were going to take a video of it, and you knew your video would be a million times more popular if you dropped the phone... And you're likely to get
I would
advertising
it.
Off of that for your YouTube. If your YouTube video is going to get more ads and you would potentially
And you're
see
already like a YouTube partner.
And you're going to see the back end of some of those ads. Yeah. Would you drop your iPhone brand new?
If I just spent $600 on it, how much am I going to make in ads? I don't know how much those guys make.
I don't think they make that much.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not worth it to me to like risk actually breaking it unless you just bought the plan for it too.
Yeah.
Well, the plan for it too, then for sure. For sure, I would break that thing, and I'd be like, "Sorry, guys, I just broke it. Give me a new one."
Oh, because you bought the insurance plan.
Yeah.
That's insurance fraud.
I'm not defrauding the insurance.
Yeah, it is because it was premeditated that you were gonna kill the phone.
But how are you gonna prove
that? That's
murder. How are you gonna prove that?
That's murder one because it was premeditated.
Okay,
that's a capital crime, my friend.
Yeah, I guess. I've never actually done that, but if I was that guy, and I mean, that's what you're describing a level of premeditation that could also be something like that too.
Okay, but I was just saying, like, if you are going to get the money back from the advertising, would you do it?
Maybe. Yeah, because awareness for my channel.
If you broke even on the advertising,
maybe.
Would you do it?
Yeah, maybe.
If you lost money on advertising, would you do it? No. You'd have to at least make all of the $600 back.
Yeah. Or whatever it cost me to replace it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how is this related
to
what's crappening?
So back to what's crappening. Okay. So there's all these people. And like I said, it's a tradition now. It's not even a phenomenon. It's like a tradition. People wait in line for these iPhones for days sometimes.
They have a whole system.
There's a whole system down. And apparently that system is so finely tuned in New York City. There's stories coming out of New York City that people in line were pooping in bags, taking a dump in a bag in line.
That's just disgusting.
And not only that. Leaving it
there. That's gross. That's really gross. And and here's my suspicion. It's that the businesses around the Apple store have gotten savvy now. And they say, these kids are like just coming in using our bathrooms, you know, because you can't be gone from the line for more than 10 minutes or something or more than 50. I'm sure there's like a limit, right? And so, yeah. I mean, I think at that point, you know, they're probably closing their bathrooms to the public at some point. And now... what are you going to do? Have you ever been in, like, if you're in New York City and you're trying to find a bathroom in general, it's not easy. Like, you have to find just the right, like, restaurant or something that has a restroom, and sometimes restaurants don't even. It's really weird. You know, it's just spaces at a premium. And so is pooping, apparently. So yeah.
Well, I've seen bums in New York just straight up pooping on the sidewalk or whatever.
Like, yeah, that's pretty gross.
So I'm sure at some level in New York City,
yeah,
there's,
that's nasty.
There's bums pooping on the sidewalk somewhere,
sure,
I'm sure.
Sure.
But sure. In line. Have you ever been in a long line for anything?
Yeah.
What were you in a long line for?
Like a ride at Disneyland?
Okay. What if you're at Disneyland?
Like a 2 or 3 hour ride?
Yeah.
Like line for a ride?
Let's say you're at Disneyland and there's like a brand new ride opening and it's some big new ride that you've never been on that
you And just
you
so you know,
go.
Like I'm the kind of guy who goes on all the other rides because they're free that day. Like, you know what I mean? Because the lines are shorter.
Yes.
I'm totally not up for waiting in line. Yes. I can't stand it. I'm not patient.
I'll add that to the list of Owen's rules for life.
And speaking of that, I have something else to bring up. Yeah.
Okay.
An update about the bike guy. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whoa, okay. We'll get that update soon.
Yeah.
So let's say you're in line at Disneyland for like the hot new ride and you know everyone wants it and you want it really bad and you're waiting in line. It's a couple hours. Let's say it's 4 hours long ride.
Line,
yeah. And the guy next to you pulls his pants down and squats down and starts pooping like in a Subway bag.
I feel like that's totally inappropriate.
What would you say? Would you say anything?
Yeah. I think I would.
What would you say?
Dude, seriously? Really?
Dude, seriously what?
Really? You're pooping in a bag?
Honestly? I have to go. I'm excited. I don't want to get out of line.
Dude, you should have gone before and you need to go. I'll save your place in line. Just get the hell out of here.
So you'd save someone's place in line.
Dude, if they were like, oh, I got to go. I'm going to poop in a bag. And like they're there with somebody. They're not there by themselves.
Yeah.
They're going to say, oh God, I got to go. And they would go and then they would come back. And I'm sure, listen, like Disney's, I've seen guys get kicked out of line at Disney for like cutting and stuff. But if somebody has been in line for like an hour and a half or 2 hours and they got another hour and a half or 2 hours to go, there's a Disney employee that you can find and say, hey, dude, I really got to go. Can I do this?
And yeah. So should there be an Apple employee that you could find and say, dude?
No.
Dude.
It's a different deal.
Dude.
It's their choice. It's their choice. It's their choice to sit outside. They're not on Apple property when they're sitting
so
on the sidewalk.
So you're cool with all these people.
Sitting on the sidewalk, but not pooping.
It's enough of a thing. It's enough
not
of a
pooping.
Thing. Enough people pooped in bags that it became a news story.
Oh my God. This is the worst. It's the worst one we've had yet.
Well, I just try to imagine people.
The human condition.
I just try to imagine pulling their pants down in front of everyone else.
It's an indictment of humanity. That people do that.
Well, it's like
I mean, everybody poops. Let's be clear.
Sure, everyone poops, but not in front of anybody.
Yeah, that's gross, dude. I couldn't do that.
put it this way. You don't even like using public restrooms, even if they have doors on.
No.
Could you imagine using a toilet and pooping if it was just no door?
No.
Like it was a stall, but people could walk
by.
Or
like a
see
hole
you?
In the ground like in Asia? No. No. No, 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 no. I can't do that. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm weird.
So what do you think that it's becoming a thing now that there's enough people pooping in bags in line for the iPhone that it became a news story?
Because
now it's like
it's
like
an indictment
the thing
on
to do.
On human beings. It's an indictment on humanity, of humanity. It's the worst. That's all I think about it. It's the worst. It's the worst thing you can do to somebody else in public. It would be super gross. And yeah. That's all I know.
It's funny because these iPhones are like the, you know, smartphones in general, not just iPhones, but like smartphones are like the most like technologically advanced personal thing that you can have.
Yeah.
And then these people, in order to get them,
are doing the least. They're doing the most barbaric.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're doing the least civilized thing they can think of, which is poop in public in front of hundreds of other people.
So there's some really good things written. And I know you and I both like sports and competition. There's some really good things written about like marathon runners.
And how
like,
they just pee.
They just
when
pee
running.
Or poop when they're running.
Yeah.
Or they just like, you
well,
know.
I've heard of them peeing. I've never heard of anyone pooping. They poop when they're running.
Yeah. They just on the side of the road sometimes.
Okay, stop.
This happens,
they
though.
They stop to poop,
yeah,
though.
For a second,
okay,
though.
But they stop.
Yeah, but
when
but it's
pee,
on the side of the road still.
But when they pee, they don't stop.
Right,
they just keep going.
Right.
They just keep running.
Right, which is crazy.
That's crazy. And it would be crazy if they pooped and ran, like ran and pooped at the same time. That would be awesome. It's not that cool of a story to me that if you're a marathon runner and you stop to poop on the side of the road. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right, right.
But if you poop on yourself while you're running,
okay,
that would be intense.
It would be intense.
Is that what they do? That's not what they do. Right?
What?
I don't know.
While they're running?
It.
No, 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 no.
Okay, but they pee on themselves while they're running.
Do they? I don't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
They straight up don't stop to pee. They just go.
Speaking of places I don't like to poop, One place I really don't like to poop is the airport. And I heard you have a good airport story.
Well, I don't know
week.
If it's a good airport story.
I'll tell you an airport story.
I'll do it real quick because we kind of have built up this reputation, I guess, we travel a lot. You travel for your work. Yeah. I travel sometimes for Cal Poly games and stuff.
Yeah.
So like this thing kind of aggravated me. I don't even know if it's that big a deal. I don't know. Tell me what you think. I just want your feedback on it. So I went to Flagstaff last week. I flew from San Luis to Phoenix and then got a rental car and drove to, you know, a couple hours up to Flagstaff. So I get there to the rental car place, and it was one of those, you know how when you get a car, some places, the rental car places, the airport will be like, here's the keys. Your car is in row 8. Yeah, row 8, stall 5, you know? And then you're like, okay. And then you go find it and you get in the car and you go. Right. Well, this car dealer that I was dealing with did not do that. You got the reservation.
Right.
You went to the counter and they're like, okay, go back over here and they'll tell you where to go.
Uh-huh.
So I go back there to get the car, and the guy's like, oh, okay, you can. I had a compact car, so he's like, you can choose any of the cars from row C.
You're at National.
No, I was at
Alamo.
No.
Enterprise.
Dollar.
Really? Dollar. Oh, so they said any from row C at Dollar. Nice.
Yes, any from row C on the left side of the sign. So I'm like, okay, cool. Any car, I can go check. So like, I was kind of interested because I have a lot of like personal devices. So I wanted to find a car. Some of them have like the
iPhone, iPad.
Some of them have
personal devices.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them have USB chargers built in now these days. So I was gonna go look through window to window to see which one had the USB charger. So I go over.
And most of them do nowadays.
Yeah. So I go over there and I'm like, oh, you know, see what the selection is. There's one car.
In the whole area?
No. There's like one row. There's one row. And then you know how you're in the parking lot and you park front to front facing another car?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, maybe he meant the ones on the other side. Because like maybe he meant the whole row, not just the ones on this side, but he meant the ones on the other side too. Right. So I'm looking through the cars.
The other one's row D or something, or row B. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed it. It was like row C and row D. But I was like, well, he said row C, but there's only one here. And he said pick any car. So maybe he meant some of these other ones. So I'm looking at the other ones. I'm looking at the other ones. And the guy runs out and he's like, no. Because I was looking at the row D. And to me, there was
looking at like the Chevy Tahoes.
No, I wasn't looking at Tahoes. Like to me, I was looking at small cars. Like I didn't see any difference between the one that was in row C and the others that were in row D. And this will back it up too, because the guy runs out. He's like, no, only from row C. And I'm like, dude, there's one. I even said this like this. Dude, there's one car. You don't want to pick from any of them. There's one.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, well, maybe you can have that other one in row D, too. Maybe you can have that Nissan.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this? Let's make a deal? Like, you told me to come over here, pick one. I'm picking.
Pretty
I'm,
typical
I'm
rental
trying to
car
pick.
Guy.
Then you come out here and you're yelling at me. Then you're saying, then you're going back and saying, no, you can have that one on the other side.
Yeah. Like,
so I took the one that was there.
You took the one because
there's only one
out of principle.
I have to choose from row C. Yes.
Right. What kind of car was it?
It was a Nissan Versa.
Okay. Yeah. That's.
And I think the one that I was veering towards was a Dodge Avenger.
Oh. Yeah, they're not that much different.
No.
Yeah.
They're about the same size.
One has like a little bit more cargo and maybe can hold 5, and the other
one holds
4.
Maybe. I don't know. The
something.
Only reason I was going to the Dodge is because I also have a Dodge, and my Dodge has a.
USB.
Plug-in. Yeah. And not even a USB.
Oh,
like
just
a straight
plug.
Like a plug, like a wall plug.
Nice.
I don't know what 12 volt or
I have an inverter that you could plug into a cigarette lighter that I take with
me. Yes.
And that turns into a plug as well. So I can like, if I really need to be on my computer or something, I can do that in a pinch.
Yeah.
It's super helpful. So I think that's pretty typical from rental car guy, especially from some of those that like try to upsell you when you're in the counter and there's like, you have to talk to 4 people. That's what really bugs me is when you go and you talk to the guy at the counter and he barely looks at your stuff. And then you have to go to a guy with an iPad who's trying to like upsell you and, oh, for only $4 more a day, you can have this car, or for, you know, $8 more a day, you can have this car. And they always make it sound like it's not that much, but you're gone for 12 days. And so you realize it's actually going to be like $100 more. And that's why they're trying to do it. And so you say, no, that's okay. And then they're like, oh, we actually don't have any of those first ones. So we're just going to give you the next one up for free because we don't have any of those ones that we promised you.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Basically decline everything and then see, be as nice as you possibly can and see if they upgrade you for free. That's my strategy.
Yeah.
But that was so aggravating because he said, pick anything you want. And then you go, there's one.
Right. Yeah. That would piss me off.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like, oh, hey, we got lots of pizza. You want a slice? You can have any, you know, have anything.
And all you
want.
Got is one
there's
slice
one,
of pepperoni.
And there's one slice of plain cheese right there. And then what are you going to do?
I know something else that kind of makes you mad.
What? Makes me mad?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That burns your britches.
Burns my britches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grinds my gears.
Grinds your gears. Let me tell you what grinds my gears.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw.
No.
MVP. Not most valuable pitcher, most valuable player in the National League. Hasn't been officially announced, but I think he's the front runner.
Yeah.
I voted for him, I think, in whatever voting I could do. and I did get to vote in a
did you
in a
vote
ballot.
As a media member?
I voted for.
Is fansmanship.com that prevalent now that you're getting media member votes?
I'm not a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, but I am a member of the Internet Baseball Writers Association of America.
There's such a thing?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's in this?
A lot of people. A lot of Internet Baseball Writers.
Internet Baseball Writers.
Yeah.
Are these Internet Baseball Writers just like startup people, or are they
some of
well-known
them are legit
people who?
Yeah. There's like lots of them that are legit.
They work for newspapers and ESPN and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know about
you. So you got in on the ground floor of that thing, it sounds like. So
yeah, I mean, it's
in
it's
20
good,
years they're going to be
very,
like, Owen Main's been in this.
It's a very inclusive
thing for 20 years.
It's a very inclusive organization. I think the guy who runs it is in Southern California. So yeah.
So pretty soon you'll be deciding whether Clayton Kershaw gets into the Hall of Fame or not.
The Internet Hall of Fame, maybe. Yeah, not the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
And to do that, you have to be a member, I think, of the Baseball Writers Association of America. And I think there's like a 5-year probationary period where you don't get to vote. We are a non-voting member.
Yeah.
After you get accepted.
Oh, it's probably like you have to be. Yeah, you
it's
have to
super
be in there
weird.
For 10 years
yeah.
or something like
it's,
that. I've
it's,
heard that.
And it's super exclusive. And I think the internet one is more inclusive. Anyway,
it's kind of funny because it's like these baseball writers, like sports writers in general. Like I'll speak for us.
They're very exclusive.
Well, we're not as smart as we like to think we are.
Yes.
Just in general.
There are a lot of really great ones. Let me just say that there are a lot of really great baseball writers, but the BBWAA as an organization, I think that's what it's called, Baseball Writers Association of America.
Sure.
I believe that those are the guys who vote for the Hall of Fame and stuff. Those guys are definitely, as a group, pretty out of touch, maybe is the right word.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Whatever. I mean, whatever, with your journalism degree, like it's freaking rocket science or something. I don't know. Just like,
and you have a journalism degree.
Yeah. And I don't act like I'm some genius and everyone's dumber than me.
Okay. Right. And I'm saying that as a group, because I think individually, most of the guys in that are like super smart and know a lot about baseball, but, groupthink in that organization is weird to me. I can't really, but tell me your take on Clayton Kershaw.
Yes.
Should he be the MVP of the National League?
It's a bit radical, Owen. I'll let you know. Radical, I will have you know. No, you know what? Like, I don't have anything against Clayton Kershaw. Let's put that on the record.
Why do you hate Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah, because you know what? I said what I'm about to say on Facebook, and of course, all the Dodgers fans take offense. Like, what? Clayton Kershaw, you hate him. You hate the Dodgers.
Is that how it sounds?
That's how people sound on Facebook when they disagree with me.
Like a male Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
You hate the Dodgers.
Yes. Happy birthday, Mr. President. You hate the Dodgers. So, like, I don't hate the Dodgers. I don't hate Clayton Kershaw. The player in this instance.
Why do you hate America?
Yes. The player in this instance does not matter to me at all whatsoever. But see, baseball, and I'll take you on a little storytelling tour here. Because, like, baseball's history in baseball is very important to me. You know, like, that's why when you have steroid scandals and people with, like, falsified stats, you know, it's like a big deal. It's like, you know, people take it seriously because the history of the game is so important.
You want to be able to compare players of one era to another
era. Yeah, and the legacy and the history, it's all such an integral part of the fabric of the game. So, like, one thing that kind of bothers me is, like, Babe Ruth, for instance. Babe Ruth, it was the best, greatest baseball player of all time, and nobody's even come close, in my opinion. Like, it's not even close.
No, you're right.
Hands down. But Babe Ruth...
Because when you look at his era and what other guys were doing in his era, they were like, they were hitting like 10 homers, and he was hitting like 50.
He hit 50 homers, and nobody else was hitting 20.
It would be like if Mike Trout hit 70 homers, and nobody else hit more than 30.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent. It's stupid.
Exactly. So, but Babe Ruth played in the 20s. So the only and media in itself was kind of emerging at that time, like video capture and that kind of thing. So we don't have video of Babe Ruth like playing in his prime. So the only video that exists of Babe Ruth is when he was older in the twilight of his career, when he's old and fat. So everyone sees that and they see the pictures in the video of old Babe Ruth, and they just assume he was fat his whole entire life.
Because you don't look at the numbers and you don't look at the,
Yeah, but he wasn't fat his whole entire life. Babe Ruth stole home 10 times. 10 times in his career. Is there anybody who's stolen home 10 times nowadays?
No, probably Ricky Henderson might have done it like 5 times or something, 6 yeah. times, 8 times.
Meanwhile, he also had, Babe Ruth had the heaviest bat of any major leaguer in the history of baseball. He wasn't some big fat guy.
Right. I mean,
this guy
he was
like,
super strong.
He's a super strong, great athlete.
Right. Pitched, was a pitcher of the year.
Yeah, he was exactly.
He's the best pitcher
in
the majors.
I think he still holds World Series records for consecutive shutout innings by a left-hander.
Right.
Like he's like
he was the best pitcher in baseball, and then they traded him, and then he became a hitter, a right fielder, and then he was the best player ever in the game.
Yeah. I mean, Babe Ruth is one of the best.
It would be like if
athletes.
Clayton Kershaw right now went and played like left field for the Dodgers and set all-time records as a hitter.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent.
And people look at Babe Ruth as if he's some fat slob.
Got it.
And it's because they don't recognize the real history. So when you lose the history, then you're losing something. You're losing a big piece of the puzzle.
So your premise that people don't understand sometimes the history of the game is well taken. Continue.
Yes. Fast forward to the 50s when the commissioner, I'm blanking on the name.
JD is channeling his inner Ken Burns.
Yes. Right in the 50s, pitchers were not getting enough consideration for the MVP award. So the commissioner decided.
His name was Cy Young.
No, I know. The commissioner was named Cy Young. The award that they came up with that they elevated to the pitcher version of the MVP.
Best pitcher in the league.
No, not the best pitcher in the league. Don't twist my words here, Owen. The Cy Young Award was not invented to be a Pitcher of the Year award. The Cy Young Award was brought forth because pitchers weren't getting their due in the MVP. See, like, the Cy Young Award was basically the answer to the MVP.
Ford Frick was the commissioner's.
Yes, there you go, yeah. Ford Frick.
Was originally given to the single best pitcher in the major leagues, but in 67, after Frick retired, one was given to a pitcher in each league.
And LNL, yes. But the reason that Frick decided or made the move and they invented this Cy Young Award was because pitchers weren't getting the play in the MVP. So the answer to the MVP was the Cy Young Award. So that was the MVP for pitchers. The intention to me, and this is not just me making this up. Like this is me going from anecdotally things that I've heard, articles that I've read, and people listening to people like Tim Kirkjian and smart baseball people talk about where the Cy Young came from.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Owen, it was in the 50s, so I don't know that there's any dissertation on it. You'll find.
Can I just
quickly
say,
Googling.
As I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and Wikipedia is what it is.
Yes.
I typed in MVP to see like if there was any in the narrative for it, if there was any mention of it being related to the MVP. And basically, there were 7 things that came up on that page. Some of them were talking about winning the MVP and the Cy Young in the same year, but there was never to crap on your point. There was never in the narrative any mention of what you're saying.
Yes,
but
because Wikipedia was around in the 50s and everything was documented from the 50s on Wikipedia. Do some Google searching and try to find the origins of the Cy Young Award.
I typed history of the Cy Young Award.
Yes, okay, go for it. You read that, and I'll explain what I know. So, and like I said, anecdotally, from what I've heard from baseball people doing interviews, guys like Tim Kirkjian, articles that I have read in the past that I do not have physical evidence of, nor can I direct you to on the internet, have said that is how the Cy Young Award came to be. It was the pitcher's answer to the MVP. So in my view, the intention of the Cy Young Award wasn't to be a second class award. It was elevated to be the equivalent of the MVP for pitchers. What's happened though, like in the past, since the invention, I guess, of the Cy Young, is that you had guys like you had these baseball writers who we all know are smarter than everybody else voting for Sandy Koufax, for instance. He was, I think, the first one to win the Cy Young and the MVP in the same year. So then you had pitchers winning the MVP again, which set like this silly precedent of like, oh, now pitchers can go for the MVP. So the MVP must be a better award.
Right,
so
this, here's something from a from.
Are
a
you
website.
Even listening to me, or are you just interrupting when you think I'm pausing?
No, I'm listening, and I think this is applicable.
Okay.
In 56, Ford Frick determined that pitchers were not receiving their due in MVP voting.
Yes.
So he proposed creating a new award that would be given solely to pitchers.
Yes.
Cy Young, the winningest pitcher of all time, had died less than a year earlier, so it seemed natural to name the pitcher's MVP award after him. So it's the most valuable pitcher award after him. One writer from each city. They changed it to having two of them. There have been minor changes in the voting process, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, that's you're not wrong in terms of.
And I've already had progress.
But to say a replacement for the MVP, I think, is taking a jump.
I didn't say replacement.
Or
I
an
said
instead of, or,
said
or an equivalent.
The answer.
Is it didn't say that.
It's the answer to it. You're still reading Wikipedia, aren't you?
No.
What story? Well, that's
fantasyalarm.com.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, keep doing your research. So
it's the one that's gotten the closest to what you're saying.
In my opinion, and from what I've heard anecdotally about the intent of the Cy Young Award, it's not supposed to be a second class award to the MVP. It's supposed to be the equivalent. It's
what,
the answer.
How
to.
Could you have so, how could the MVP, the most valuable player on the field, every award after that is a second class award?
Well, that's the problem, see? The problem MLB does not make this clear that you know, the problem is the MLB didn't make it clear. Like, this is the Cy Young, this is for pitchers, this is the MVP, this is for players.
Right.
Then you have silly things like Koufax winning both in the same year, and then you have, I think there's been like seven since the invention.
Verlander, I think, was most recent.
Yeah, since
Fernando might have done it.
I don't remember. But like seven pitchers have won the MVP award in 50, you know, whatever how many years since 1954, whenever the first Cy Young was. If you break it down, there's been. Between the first Cy Young Award and now, there's been like 116 MVP awards given from both leagues. Pitchers have only won seven of those. So that's like 6% of the time pitchers are winning MVP. To me, that's an absurdly low amount. And it sets the bad precedent of the MVP is a better award than the Cy Young, in my opinion. I don't think the Cy Young is a worse award than the MVP. I think they are both equal. And the problem is that MLB never made this clear. Like this is for the most valuable position player, and this is for the most valuable pitcher. So, like, if you look at, for instance, college football has a bunch of different awards for all kinds of things. But there's, like, an offensive MVP. I think that's the Walter Camp. And then there's a defensive MVP, which is the Bednarik, right?
Okay.
And then there's a Heisman,
right?
So Heisman is like the one above all. And then there's an offensive and a defensive. Well, baseball should have the MVP for the position players and the Cy Young for the pitchers. And then if you want one above all of them, then make a new one above all of them. You know, that's how you want to do it.
Fernando did win both in 81.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Unanimous choice for MVP as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I said before, we aren't the smartest bunch, us writers, okay?
I understand your premise, JD. I just don't think I agree with it because I think when you have an award like the MVP, it's meant to blanket all players. And you're right. They did a bad job if they really thought that the Cy Young was just for pitchers and that they thought that would make the MVP more directly just for hitters. They should have said that, and they should have renamed it, I think. I don't think you could say it MVP and not include players who are on the field, even if it is once every 5 days.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, from what I've heard at the time, from people who've been in the know, like baseball, like Tim Turchin's type people that know baseball history.
Like Tom Verducci.
They have said those kind of things, that when the Cy Young Award came to be, it came to be as an equivalent to the MVP. It wasn't a second-class award. But over the years, in the same way that we've lost sight of the fact that Babe Ruth was a great athlete.
Bringing it back around.
Just a fat guy.
Yeah.
And like we have lost sight that the Cy Young Award is a top-notch, top-level award.
I don't think I have lost sight of that.
Voting a pitcher as MVP cheapens the Cy Young.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Interesting.
It's radical.
Interesting point. Interesting take. I don't think I agree with it. I think Clayton Kershaw wins both this year. I think that if you're talking about a most valuable player, Cy Young or no Cy Young, Clayton Kershaw has been the most valuable player in the National League. I think that's borne out by lots of statistics, both traditional and advanced, and borne out by the fact that his Dodgers won, you know, their division. He's definitely the most important player on that team. He almost led the league in strikeouts and missed like a month.
Yeah. Mind you, you're a Dodgers fan saying all this, and also, mind you, I'm not arguing any of that. I'm not even saying any of that. I think I made a post on my Facebook page, and all the Dodgers fans...
It's a definition of valuable.
And all the Dodger fans were like... And I was like, no, look, I'm not even saying he's not the best player. Nobody's saying he's not the best player.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying he's not the best player.
I understand.
I'm saying the Cy Young is, I mean, I'm not saying the MVP is not the best award. That's what I'm saying.
Fair
enough. MVP is not the best award.
It should be put on equal terms with the Cy Young.
Yes.
And because of that, then pitchers should not win the MVP.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Agree or disagree? You guys can comment, of course, in the on the bottom.
How much time
part.
Did we waste on that? I'm sure anyone who was listening was like
8 minutes.
Screw this garbage.
No. That was, I don't know. I think that was better than what's crapping in.
What? Hey, I'll say this. Okay, I made a Facebook post about this this Cy Young thing, right? And there was lots of comments. All right.
On both sides.
And then you said we need to talk about this on the podcast, right? And what was my response?
No.
My response was, I have a whole entire schedule of what's crapping in plan. So we're not going to be able to get to that. And if you go back and look at that thread and see which comment got the most likes out of any of those comments.
It was the crapping in?
It was what's crapping in. I think it was like 5 or 6 likes, which at this point, I mean, let's be honest.
It's a lot for
that's
us.
A tidal wave.
So
that's a hurricane.
So another thing you posted on Facebook was about a TV show that you watch, and we'll get there in a second because I do want to hear about your TV show.
Yes.
But I also want to...
my TV show?
The TV show that you watched.
The TV show that you and your kind...
It's called Gotham. JD's going to talk about it in a second.
Okay. Yeah.
But in the meantime, I also want to talk really quickly because this is a topic a couple weeks ago. The guy on the bike who I almost ran over, who rode the wrong way on the sidewalk.
You almost killed that guy.
I almost killed that guy. So yesterday or the day before,
regretted not killing him. I think afterwards, right? Isn't that what we were talking about? Wasn't that the main crux of the discussion?
I wouldn't say that wasn't the case.
it was.
No,
it was,
I wouldn't say
like if you could do it all over again, would you run him down? Even though now the law is that you
I can't stay three feet away. I can't say.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't say. I think I was on the right side of the law on that one, though, with the green light and with him riding the
See, then you would have got off scot-free.
Yeah.
Okay, if I told you you would have got off scot-free if you'd have run him over, would you run him over if you had to do it all over again?
I wouldn't have wanted to kill him or hurt him super bad.
Okay.
I'd want him to be embarrassed.
You would want to ruin his bicycle.
I would want him to be more embarrassed than anything.
You'd want him to break the bicycle, right?
No.
So then he couldn't ride it anymore.
No, I wouldn't even say that. I want him to be embarrassed. I don't know why that is, but I feel like embarrassment is something that we don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you want him to be embarrassed?
Yeah. Embarrassed by his actions, publicly shamed. So I'm sitting.
Why don't you just find out where he lives and like throw eggs at his house?
No, that's stupid. That's juvenile. So I'm sitting at the, at a left-hand turn at the same intersection, about to turn left across the same crosswalk that I almost hit him before. And there is a green light, just the same exact scenario that I had before.
Is it the same guy?
Same guy, doesn't even
Whoa, there's a hurricane blowing through.
Doesn't even look, cruises across the street, and then he's looking around, waiting for somebody to say something as he keeps going down the frontage road.
Are you sure that's why he was looking
around?
He's
a menace to society.
Are you sure he wasn't looking around to see if any cars were going to run him over?
No, he was well across the intersection before he looked around at all. Same guy going on the same crosswalk, the same wrong way, with a red light for him, green light for the cars that are crossing, doesn't even look. Could have gotten hit by a car that was like mine.
This was the second chance for you to run him down.
No, I mean, I had a red light, though, this time, because I was in a left-hand turn lane going back.
It was somebody else's duty to teach him a lesson.
No, I mean, no cars were coming, luckily for him. So,
well, maybe he knew no cars were coming, and he just went.
You can't see, though. It's a blind... believe me, I saw him coming. He was going too fast, like, to be able to see. So, and he didn't
look. What did you do? Did you yell?
No, I didn't do anything.
Did you say, hey, Bozo?
At some point... Here's what I figure. At some point, he keeps doing it. He's going to get hit. He's going to get hit if he keeps doing that on a green light.
Yes. There's students. Do you hear this, sir?
There's students in
town.
We
know you live around here. You may be listening to this. You are going to get hit one of these days.
He's definitely not listening to this.
He could.
It would be hilarious if he was.
He might.
It would be amazing.
Are we up to 5 now? Is it safe to say that 5 people listen?
We could say that literally...
Have you looked at the stats? Have you checked
literally
the stats?
Literally tens of people have listened.
Tens? So more than 20 is what you're saying.
Literally tens of people.
So more than 20.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I haven't looked at the stats.
That would be a big jump. I thought we were at 2.
We're
at more than 20 now.
We did already have some like Stitcher and iTunes subscribers like the day after I
That represents that a significant increase.
Look at us go. Exponential.
Yeah. From 2 to 20, that's times 10. That is exponential.
Yeah, like I said. So
it's
to the something power.
2 squared is what? 4?
Like to the fourth power maybe?
16.
To the fourth power maybe?
Third
3.5 power?
There you go.
So that guy needs to just chill out and protect himself. At this point, I'm not really mad at him anymore. I'm just going to feel bad when he's splayed out all over the street. And the
well,
sidewalk.
You're going to feel bad?
Yeah.
So you go out there on the
I'll call 911
there's like
for
a
him.
Greasy spot or whatever. You're going to feel bad?
I'll pour some out for him. Yeah. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? No helmet, like just going the wrong way still. At some point, it's going
to
happen.
You need to find out where he lives and stick a sign on his lawn that says bad cyclist.
I'm done worrying about it after that time. It kind of got all my anger out, and I'm like, dang, that's kind of sad. That guy's totally going to get run over someday.
Yeah. You know what I always wish?
When I'm not the guy who's like got adrenaline because you almost ran him over, then you kind of feel bad. When you're the guy who almost ran him over and you have adrenaline, then you're super mad at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you wish?
Do you ever have these fantasies? I have fantasies sometimes when I'm driving. Did you just cut the cheese?
No.
I think they're having What's Crapping in Here in the studios, in the fansmanship.com podcast network studios. What's crapping in, Owen?
What were you saying, JD?
I have fantasies sometimes that when I'm driving and people cut me off or do douchey things or like don't drive good. Like I have fantasies that my car is like outfitted with like guns and explosives and I like if someone cuts me off, I'm like, all right,
like
that's
the
it.
Bat car?
Yes, I'm hitting this button right, the red button, boop, and my missile launchers come out of the car and go and like blow up that car.
Or like the oil slick that could come out and like spray oil under
yeah,
their car.
Yeah, well like there's varying degrees. Out. If someone really ticks me off, like then I'll come with the hardcore
the rocket
weapons.
Launcher.
Well like the laser that just cuts their head off immediately or like, you know, if they only tick me off just a little bit. If they only tick me off a little bit, then I'll just kind of like haphazardly hurl some grenades in the air their direction. And maybe they'll blow up and maybe not, but they'll get the message.
So speaking of the bat car, this is a great segue too. And what's on Facebook? You posted a quick review of a new TV show. So I think we're going to end on this today and bring it home on a quick review of the first episode
Give a quickie review.
Of the show Gotham that's on Fox.
Yeah, it's episode 2 already ran on Monday.
So the premise for Gotham, and I think I know this, is that it's a young Bruce Wayne after his parents get killed and what happens like during his like formative years after that and kind his relationship of. Maybe with the and what's happening in Gotham at that time. So what's Commissioner Gordon doing during those years? How does he rise to power? It's kind of I feel like it's kind of inner city politics with that as well, right?
Yeah, it's more about everyone else not named Bruce Wayne. Like the kid who plays Bruce Wayne has appeared in both the episodes.
But like almost as show, like a token, almost as like a token.
Totally. The show, it seems kind of out of place even. It seems like they're shoehorning him in.
Because you have to have him in there, in their opinion.
And the second episode was on Monday. I don't want to really talk about the second episode that much because I wasn't really watching that closely. I was kind of skimming. And part of the reason was like the first episode kind of lost me. That's the premise of my quick review here. And I'll give you just the what happened exactly, like how it kind of came down. So
not what crappened, what happened.
Yes, it happened. Well, it might have been crap, some people might say. I don't know. It was okay, but there was some parts. There was one part in particular that really lost me, but I'll tell you sort of how it goes. So the show starts off with the seminal moment, the seminal Batman moment of young Bruce Wayne walking with his parents, Thomas and Martha.
From the movies. Was it a post-theater
experience? From the movies through Crime Alley. I don't know what movie they were watching. In the comics, they always watch Zorro, but in the movie, I don't know what they were
watching. Come on, if you're Bruce Wayne or Bruce Wayne's dad, why are you walking through Crime Alley? But okay.
Well, the reality was, you know what they were probably watching a Marvel movie because everyone goes to that. It was probably Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fair enough.
It didn't say that though. But it's probably. I mean, it's the highest grossing movie of the summer.
Is Batman DC or Marvel?
Batman is DC.
It's a Warner Brothers show. Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
But he was probably. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, they're probably.
Let's be real. Okay.
So, anyways, they're walking through Crime Alley, and then the guy comes up that shoots them, and he's like, "Give me your money," and then they're getting the money out, and then the guy's like, he gives this face of like, "Yeah, whatever, I don't want your money." Boom, kills him anyway. So it's kind of like gives the impression that it's like some sort of mob hit,
like
or
a setup.
Totally.
Is it the Joker, like in the first Batman movie?
I don't know, because the guy, you couldn't really tell. Like, you didn't know who he was. Like, he was kind of...
And they didn't, like, show any before or after. The audience has no idea.
No, you don't know who it is. So the premise of the show, I think, is this mystery is going to be the mystery of the show.
That they're going to, like, unravel.
Yeah, that they're going to unravel piece by piece. And along the way, as they're unraveling this mystery of who killed the Waynes, they're introducing all these characters. So even in, like, the barely first episode, you saw this introduction of, like, all the people you could think of, you know,
in Gotham City at that time.
Yeah.
Like a young Penguin.
Yeah, like the young Riddler is like...
oh, really?
The young Riddler is like... Or the guy who would become the Riddler...
Is his name Edward Nygma?
Yes, it is. But the guy who would become the Riddler is like a police fact checker kind of guy. So he's like, you know how the police have these the guys who run the numbers and that kind of thing?
Sure.
He's like that kind of investigator.
Okay.
And then you've got the guy who would become the Penguin, who's like, you know, a flunky of one of the like mob bosses.
Uh-huh.
And he's like an underling.
Uh-huh.
You've got Catwoman, the girl who would become Catwoman just so happened to be the homeless kid in the alley who witnessed the Wayne murder.
They're really trying to tie all this together a little bit too nicely, a little too tightly.
In the first episode, they pin the murders almost immediately on a low-level crook who ends up. It turns out that he wasn't the guy, but watching it, I'm like, oh my god, they already found the guy! Like it's him. There's evidence. It's obviously that guy. They go after him, and then what happens with him is what really turned me off of the show. But before I get to that, I just want to say, when they go to arrest him or whatever, his daughter is named like Ivy something. And so it's foreshadowing Ivy. That she's supposed to be Poison Ivy. Yes. And you're like, what? Everybody is already in this already. Right. In the second episode, there was
a guy. So what's there left?
In the second episode, there was a guy telling stand-up jokes or whatever. And everyone was like, he's the Joker. He's telling stand-up jokes. So I don't think he was, but I mean, whatever. So yeah, they're just throwing in all these characters, and there's like they're all tightly woven.
A little too tightly.
A little bit, but that's not what turned me off of it, because that was kind of the problem. Remember when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out last year?
Yeah.
Part of the problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., at least the people that, you know, didn't like it, was there weren't enough like established characters in the show, like people that you know from the comics,
and they developed it over time, and they've. The first episode of this show was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked the first episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. I saw it. I haven't seen the second one yet, but I'm going to go watch it on VOD as soon as I get home.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch it on the Watch ABC app as soon as I get home
and
be pumped about it.
So what made you not like...
So what turned me off on Gotham, and this is so ridiculous. I couldn't believe this. This is when I like turned off my brain. I was like, I mentioned how they...
Because once JD gets turned off about something, he just stops. Like he stops caring. Like like he makes a split decision to stop caring about something, whether it's like a particular... I mean, I don't want to say a particular part of a game because it's his job to like figure all that stuff out. But there's like a level of like hyper caring vigilance that's like a really high level that he's capable of. And then there's like... Okay, I've stopped caring about that now.
Is that how
about I am? Different things? I
man,
think
that sucks.
No, it doesn't suck. It's,
yeah, it does. If you can tell, that's how I am. That kind of sucks.
I know you pretty well though by now. Like, I know. But I don't think everybody can tell.
I know, but they'll be like, I'm sure you're like. I bet you there's times where we're sitting on the couch and you're like, hey buddy, guess what? Guess what I did? Blah blah blah. And you're going through something, and I just probably turn off.
No,
have
not,
you noticed?
No.
Do I do that to you?
No, okay. Not with direct like social stuff.
All right, good.
I'm talking more about like.
All right, I
like,
don't want to be that guy. I'm a total jerk. No, you're like. He doesn't care about my feelings.
I care about your feelings,
Owen.
Thanks, JD.
Okay.
Keep going.
So I mentioned to you that they fingered the guy, right? They're like, this guy did it. And he kind of looks like the actor who did it. So you were kind of like, oh, that could be him, because he was kind of wearing a mask, you know? So you're like, this could be the dude. It probably was the dude. There was evidence and stuff. So they go pick him up and they go to arrest him. The guy tries to get away and he immediately resists. Like he doesn't say like, oh, okay, I'll go down to the... You know, whatever, I'll get questioned. Right. Like, without any questions at all, he immediately tries to flee.
Runs away.
Yeah, he immediately tries to resist and flee. And you're like, okay, who does that? Who resists and flees? Obviously somebody who did something.
Right.
Maybe he didn't the murder. I don't know.
Right.
But at that point, they're going after him. He runs up on the rooftops. He has a gun. He starts shooting the gun at Harvey Bullock and James Gordon. Harvey Bullock is like, James Gordon is the guy who would become Commissioner Gordon, who's played by the guy who played Ryan from the OC. Do you remember the OC?
Yeah.
California.
Okay. And Harvey, this is not Harvey the Two-Face.
No. This is Harvey Bullock.
Different Harvey.
He's a character from the comics, but he's like a detective. In the comic books, he's like younger than Gordon.
Okay.
In this one, he's like older than Gordon.
Okay. Right.
He's like the corrupt cop partner who's like jaded and he'd been in Gotham all this time.
Right.
And Gordon is like the recent army, you know.
Who's got morals and who has a larger
idea. He just came out of the military and he wants to clean up the streets.
Who's going
to
be really the main character of this whole.
He doesn't take no stuff from nobody.
It's going to be the main character of this show.
Yeah, he's the main character.
Gordon is.
California. And so, anyways, the guy is unloading his gun at both Gordon and Bullock. If he hits him, he could kill him. Like, he's shooting at them. He's shooting at them. They could die. They still go after him, whatever. They go up on the rooftops from his apartment, and then they go down the fire escape.
Of course they do.
The guy runs around the corner. Bullock is kind of overweight, so he's behind in the chase. Gordon is right out of the military, so he's right on his ass. And then, but he comes around the corner. He doesn't know where he is. The guy pulls out a knife and slices Gordon's arm and then tries to stab him and kill him. He knocks him down. He's still got the knife, and he's right about to deliver the death blow, right? When Bullock steps out of the side and shoots him and kills him, the guy that they're trying to get. Dead. Okay, fine. Whatever, move on. It's a cop show. That didn't bother me or whatever. Then, but
still, that's a little bit too extreme of a reaction for somebody who did nothing, but go ahead.
I don't know if he did nothing, though. Right. See, this is my point. Right. This is my point. Hear me out. I might be getting confusing, but here we go. Later in the show, it reveals, spoiler alert, that this guy didn't kill the Waynes, that he was set up, and you don't really know by who, but the indication is that it might be the cops were in on it, like the higher-up cops.
Got it.
And the mob in on it together. They planted evidence to make Gordon think that this guy was the killer. So they had Gordon and Bullock come to the realization that this guy was didn't do it. But they make the like leap that this guy was innocent. This guy was innocent.
Completely
innocent. We killed
an
innocent guy.
Right.
We killed an innocent guy. But you didn't kill an innocent guy. The guy was shooting at you. He was shooting at you with his own gun. If you'd have gotten hit, you would have been dead. He stabbed you.
Yeah.
He stabbed you in the arm, and then it was going to kill you. And he hadn't been shot.
All he had to do was, like you said, say, okay, fine, I didn't do anything. So he did something. And they shouldn't feel that bad about it, is your point.
He tried to kill cops.
Right. They shouldn't feel that bad about it.
To cops, that's literally the worst thing you could do.
Right.
Right. If you're a cop, the worst attempted crime that could be is killing a cop.
Or the worst crime.
Yeah.
Like a cop killer is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, these guys react when they find out that it was a setup or whatever.
They're all sad.
Like, they're like, we could lose our jobs for this. Our careers could be ruined, you know, and Gordon just starting his career, his whole life could be ruined. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. But like, hold on. No one's career is going to be ruined that you went after this guy who you was a suspect for murder,
who started to
shoot at you and stabbed you.
And was about to kill you until your partner killed him.
And you were about to get killed. I'm pretty sure it's justified. Yeah. So then the logic of the show.
In an America that like justified killings by cops is definitely like a hot topic right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And there is like a blurry line there.
It was like they
were
completely ignoring that hot button issue. Totally.
Or trying to be like, yeah.
Or you think they were being political with it? Like,
oh, cops should feel bad no matter how blah, 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 blah. Maybe. I don't know.
No, this guy was obviously a bad guy.
Right.
Maybe he didn't do the Wayne murder, but he has no problem shooting and stabbing people. He probably did some murder.
Right.
And if he didn't do some murder,
he was going to.
Right. He had no problems doing it.
Okay. All right.
And he was obviously
mob connected, so they feel bad about it, which is bad.
They don't feel bad about killing him. They feel fear for their jobs.
Okay.
Like fear that they did something
wrong.
Which
they shouldn't, but okay.
Well, that's what turned me off, because it's like, wait a second. This logic of this show makes no sense in real life.
And it's episode one that should be pretty tight. Like episode one of shows should be pretty tight.
Yeah, they had months to conceive this show. They had months and months to figure out what was going to be in that show. Right. It should be tight. Like they wove all the characters in there pretty tight.
Right.
The logic should not make sense.
Yeah. You know, there's a show that I got really hooked into. It was actually the first show I ever binge watched, and that's 24. And if you've ever watched episode one, season one of 24, have you watched?
I haven't. 24? Is it terrible?
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, it's good.
You won't be able to not watch the first three seasons after like episode one, season one.
Huh.
There's a huge twist at the end. There's like an airplane jump, and then the show's over, and you're like, oh my god, I have to see the next episode. Yeah. I'll lend it to you if you want. It's like season one of 24.
I think it's on Netflix now.
Yeah, it's super worthwhile. Like the first three seasons for me were solid. Like I really enjoyed those, and there's like the Jack Bauer kill count and stuff like that. My point is they had time to sew up the first episode of the first season. You got to be good with. You can't have these plot holes, and it sounds like they did.
Yeah, and so that just is like, well, I'm not gonna watch this anymore. If this is how it's gonna be, and I'm gonna be disgusted with like some of the leaps of faith, then I'm not interested.
Understood. Well, I think we've fulfilled our time obligation today.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we really appreciate you guys listening. You can follow JD Scroggin, Joshua D. Scroggin, via @SlowCollegeBeat on Twitter. You can follow him at JD Scroggin, rebelmouse.com/JD Scroggin.
Yes.
See, I got that. You can follow me at fansmanship on Twitter, at Owen Main on Twitter. I go back and forth between them. There's some other people who tweet from at fansmanship as well, including Luke, Andy, and Jesse tweet from there as well.
That's crazy. Have I ever had any conversations with those guys thinking that they're you?
I don't think like long conversations. Maybe Jesse during like a football, like he tweets during like games that he's at, and he does a pretty, he's pretty like witty. Like some of the witty tweets during football games are okay. That. Like if there's not a picture attached to it, you, and it's not like about the game, usually it's Jesse. If you're like at a game that he's at. And you can also
find... That's
funny
because I just assume it's you all the time. And I'm like, yeah. That dang Owen. It could be someone else.
Could be Luke or Andy.
I could be saying too. That dang Andy.
Yeah. And so you can also find my pictures at photos.fansmanship.com. I'm, my photo business is a legit thing now. If you're a parent or you know people who want you know, pictures taken at games or something like that, or any kind of like senior pictures or anything like that, you know, I'm happy to help with that. You can find me, Owen, at fansmanship.com.
Is that our first sponsorship?
Maybe.
Is that a commercial?
It's not really official, no.
That was like a commercial, though. You
I know.
Read that like it was real copy.
Yeah, but it was out of my brain. It was copy out
it
of
was.
My brain.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
You had no notes in front of you.
I've been taking a lot of pictures. It's been really fun, and I'm trying to do more of it. So there you go.
So buy his pictures.
You can if you want to. Yeah. And I have a lot of pictures of Cal Poly, especially right now, up. Soccer, women's, men's, football, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, should be fun. Thanks again, JD.
Yes. Thank you, Owen.
We'll catch you next time on Hurricane and Scruggs. Yes. My kick it off, with a tuna shake and a Molotov. I pop fake pills of ammonium, turn on a marathon on Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah. Wax my tag, bleach my pits, give myself epileptic fits. You know it, custom crocs caress my feet. Yes. Pre-game checklist now complete. Ha. Tweet some tweets, blog some blogs.